Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you, Dave Solomon, so very much. Oh, my. Wherever you are today, I hope that you are experiencing a little bit of an oasis. Now, as I'm speaking right here with Daoud Saeed's instrumental intro music in the background, the sun is coming out. We desperately need the sun to come out, ladies and gentlemen, because we have had snow up the wazoo, okay? So a lot of us are thinking tropics, thinking heat at least. For the next few days, we are supposed to be getting more spring-like temperatures than more winter temperatures, and a few of us are not really prone to moan about this, but seriously, we've had enough. So, we are going to try to brighten the landscape for you wherever you are today and present not one but two guests. Next hour, it's Amy Cervini. In the third hour of the show, it's Leonardo Lucini. Now, both of them put together sound like luscious cannolis from Vaccaro's in Little Italy, don't they? Man, the music's going to be good today. Just think of having a cannoli with some cold coffee that's poured for you fresh in a glass mug somewhere in the Bahamas. Okay? How's that? How about if we start the show with something classic to get you in the frame of mind for all things wonderful weather-wise? Let's do some astral traveling from 1971 and Pharoah Sanders on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
brand new on Hybrid Jazz. Gorgeous. Oh my. That's our good friend Pete Gitlin, who has spent a long time being involved in music and was recalling times just recently because of the Beatles special anniversary show that was on the Ed Sullivan actual stage just a few short days ago, recalling times back then in the 60s when he was actually in that atmosphere. And he is one of those baby boomers that took that music of that time very seriously. And as time went on, as is the case with a few of us, got more involved in jazz and the instrumentation process and has become a terrific guitarist. Well, now he's thinking of a whole lot of different kinds of meanings in life. We have these little discussions back and forth on Facebook about people that have come and gone in our lives, and we have seen what has transpired in 2012, 2013, folks that have departed the building, as it were, left us. And what hit him really hard in the past couple of years was the Newtown tragedy. So he wanted to do something meaningful, and he got this inspiration, and what an inspiration it was. You just heard Epiphany for the Children. Pete lending his musical expertise, and this beautiful young woman named Leah Capelli, who's singing the song. She has the legs that you see on the cover of Pete's Amplify album. Oh, she's multifaceted, that Leah. Just a stunning vocal, and a song, actually, that can get played anywhere. You can't necessarily categorize that song because it belongs on so many radio stations, on so many shows. It's really a thoughtful and poignant song about the meaning of life and gets you to thinking about maybe reprioritizing what your life had been. That's what it did for me anyway. And I bless Pete for allowing me to be able to play the song. I think we're one of the first shows to do so, and I'm really tickled because it's just so wonderful. Michael Broning is on this track, as well as Jody Light and Leah, of course, singing the vocal. Pete will be with us next Tuesday here on Hybrid Jazz to talk more about it and to share some plans with you in 2014. So this is what it's called. It drops today, Epiphany for the Children. If you're friends with Pete on Facebook, make sure you go. If you want to go to his website, please do, Pete Gitlin, GITLIN.com, and find out more information. Kieli Minucci, Blue Lagoon, the new single from Genesis, along with Special Effects. Kieli has created this perfect environment that we need desperately. Oh, so busy. I am so tickled for him. This guitarist and composer who has done his thing for a number of years, like Pete, well, now he's joining forces with an absolute powerhouse, Omar Hakim, and The Experience. They will be March the 12th at the Howard Theater. KieliMusic.com has more information about that. He's got a full agenda for this year. I'm so tickled about it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I should tell you that Kieli's got a chance to go to Shanghai, China. Yes, that's exciting. When he returns, he's going to be at Burke's Jazz Festival with Steve Oliver and Vincent Ingala. That's going to be quite a little party, and there will be several there in those 2 weeks that it goes on. We started off from 1971, Astral Traveling, Pharaoh Sanders from Thembi, an album that was named after his wife. Born Pharrell Sanders, and of course, I'm thinking of Pharrell with the big Smokey the Forest Ranger hat that was on the Grammys. Pharrell has really created quite a buzz for himself, but this is a different Pharrell. Sanders, named Pharaoh by Sun Ra, born in Little Rock, Arkansas, 74 this year, one of our living legends, and actually got the full force of inspiration while working with John Coltrane, when John was gravitating to the vibe that avant-garde saxman Albert Ayler was creating. Yeah, yeah. It was a different sort of flavor, and people didn't understand Coltrane for delving into that direction. But John was listening to his own spiritual hunger, so Pharaoh Sanders got it, and he was right there with John. So he carried that away when John left us and made the mark on his own that has been so strong through the years. Woo! Astral traveling. Yeah! Wouldn't you love to do that? Maybe some folks who are listening have already done it. What is that like? We'll find out someday. Do not forget, we have a couple of guests today, and this is very exciting because Amy Cervini has a new CD that's dropping this day called Jazz Country, exactly the way it's put forth to you. Amy is one of those rare creatures that was an instrumentalist as a teenager getting deeply involved in the great sax men, because that's what she was playing. Listening to Cannonball and Charlie Parker and feeling those songs in her own little Toronto way. But then she was hearing country music around the house. So she was classically trained, and she had the jazz in her. She had the country in her. She moved to New York and got involved in all of it, pretty much. And what you are going to hear is the result of all that delicious intermingling. We do love the intermingling here on Hybrid Jazz. Have you noticed? Amy Cervini joins us next hour, and then the incredibly handsome, I must say, Leo Lucini joins us in the third hour of the show, and there is a lot to learn about Leo. Quite an educator, quite a musician. He and his brothers have established Brazilian music in the Washington, D.C. area like almost nobody else has, because it's authentic, since Leo and his brothers come from Rio de Janeiro. I'm happy to tell you that he will be also a guest. Let's dive into some Joe Sample, shall we? Can we go back into the 70s again? Well, sort of getting involved into the new decade of the 80s, but this is from 1979. Again, the weather made me do this, because when you hear the audio visual, if you will, or the audio producing the visual of Carmel, California, and Big Sur, and Monterey, and the beach, and the sand, and the warmth of the air. Are you with me? Let's see if Joe can do it for you the way he has done it for me with Carmel, title track from 1979's LP on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz. Have come to love so much in the past few years. Woo. Actually, for some of us, we heard it through East Bay Soul, And then Daryl F. Walker came out with an EP, and we had another reason to fall in love all over again. Such a strong, soulful, passionate voice. One of those throwbacks to what was great decades ago. And I've told him this, and each time he goes, really? Such a sweetie pie. Daryl F. Walker from Hold Me. And the song that James Ingram and Michael McDonald made so famous some years ago, Yamo Be There. Who would tackle that song unless somebody had a supreme sense of confidence and or felt so drawn to the song, because it's just one of those monumental pieces that you can't possibly explain. And I remember when it was first played on radio, people were saying, what the heck does that mean? Yamo Be There, what? You just have to feel it, and either you feel it or you don't. When Daryl did his version, we felt it all over again. Just so you know, this four-pronged Wonder Man, singer, songwriter, saxophonist, and sexy person, is going to be at Spagatini's. I want you to know this so you can get your tickets early on April the 11th. If you would do that so he can sell the place out again, anytime he's associated with Spags, he always does that. Further, and I'll probably tell you this a second time in today's show, Daryl is going to be with East Bay Soul on a few different dates. I am so excited because I just checked the website, and then there was a notation on Facebook as well. EBS is going to be in Reading, or closer, Why I'm Missing, Pennsylvania, just up the road from Philadelphia, on Flag Day, June the 14th, yes, at, what is that place called? I never can get that. Wait a minute, let me look, because Building 24 is what it's called. And this place has done really, really well. It's fairly new, and John Ernesto oversees that, as he does the Berks Jazz Festival, so you know it's in good hands. And I see that EBS is also going to be in Harrisburg, but I don't know where yet. If you go to eastbaysoul.com, you'll find out more. There's Daryl and Althea Renee. Yes. Althea, if you're listening, girl, let me tell you, your ears must have been burning, because our mutual friend, Yolanda Bell, and I were talking about you in absolute love the other day. You know, when you have a chat with a friend that lasts for more than 40 minutes, you're going to get into some really good meat and potatoes topics. And Althea Renee was one of them. Just an amazing woman, not only in the way of musicianship, but a big heart and a creative person as well. She took this song from actually 2008's No Restrictions, and of course there has been other work since. But I was really feeling the Rose Royce song from 1977, Wishing on a Star. And I had to search, because I was trying to think of who sang the song back then, and all I saw was Rose Royce. I didn't see the lead singer's name. Gwen Dickey is who sang the absolute metal off of that tractor. Man, was that a good song. Woo! So, when you combine the flute of Althea Renee and the passion that she puts forth, and then have a song like that that is just magnified instrumentally when you hear it, it's just a good vibe all the way around, isn't it? Althea is going to be at Brian Culbertson's Napa Valley Jazz Getaway coming up. She is also going to be at Blues Alley on the 13th of May. I'm really tickled to see that. That particular song, by the way, from No Restrictions, was produced by the Grammy Award-winning Rex Rideout. So that's why it had that extra pop. It's great, wasn't it? We heard Joe Sample from 1979. Carmel, one of those just stunning, vivid musical pictorial, that's what I would call it, of that area of California that is considered close to paradise. On there, helping him out, not that he needs a whole lot, Styx Hooper, Abe Laboriel, Byron Miller, Hubert Laws, Paulino de Castro, and a few more. Man, it was good stuff. Joe is doing well on his birthday, which he celebrated on the first of the month. By the way, I hear that he made a vat of chili for his friends at the house. So he's doing lots better. That's such good news. Good news, too, that we have Amy Cervini coming up at the top of the hour. And I must say thank you to Chris McNulty for making me aware that her friend Amy is just the proud mama of a new CD that drops today called Jazz Country. When you hear the kind of interworking of feeling and rootsy vibes and jazz sensibilities that Amy brings to this, oh my, just a past couple of days, T and I, my son, of course, were able to listen to a few tracks, and he just warmed right up because he heard Amy tackle a Neil Young song. Yes. And then there was a Hank Williams Sr. song that she also did. Yes. And a Johnny Cash song. You're going to have to hear some of these tracks. She's coming up, and hopefully we'll have the better part of an hour to spend. I want to be able to play a few tracks so that you will actually buy Jazz Country via her website or wherever she says. So hold on for that. Let's play a few more songs. Wanted to get this in because this is a double whammy. If you have heard Joey Somerville do an interview or two through the past several years. He was on Cool Jazz Conversations back on 2011 when I was with Joy Hall doing the show, and he also did Hybrid Jazz. He's just one of those charming guys to speak with, and must be some of that Southern gentleman thing, I think. Joey had the Get Down Club back in 2011. Here he is with Jeff Lorber, Primitive Cool, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Bye.
is Hybrid Jazz.
I don't want french fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the awesome face. Shabuffle on the side. I don't want pork chops and bacon. That won't awaken my appetite inside. I want the frim-fram sauce with the awesome face. Shabuffle on the side. You know a girl, she really gotta eat. And a girl, she should eat right. 5 will get you 10. I'm gonna feed myself right tonight. I don't want fish cakes and rye bread. You heard what I said. Waiter, please serve mine fried. I want the frim-fram sauce with the awesome fay. Shabuffle on the side.
Drawn to it because I knew that that was Anat Cohen that was playing the clarinet, and I thought, well, we just had Anat on the show, and I want to be able to hear how these two formidably talented ladies blend their vibes. Wasn't that exquisite? Frim-fram sauce, which is much like awesome sauce, by the way. We have Amy on the line with us, and I want to make sure she gets a proper introduction. This is a very exciting day. Doesn't matter how long she has with us. It's just that she needs to savor all of this day because this is the day that Jazz Country drops. Singer extraordinaire, visionary, if you will, songwriter, band leader, saxophonist, actually a multi-instrumentalist, and consummate businesswoman, this is, ladies and gentlemen, Amy Cervini. Amy, how are you?
Hey, that was quite something. Thanks, I'm better now.
Just like a vitamin, isn't it?
It's really quite amazing. I'm going to call you every day if you don't mind. You do that over and over again.
No, that'll be great. That'll be great because actually I like your voice now too. Oh, Amy, I'm so glad you had time to spend today. Yay.
Yes, of course. I mean, I'm happy. I'm happy to spend some time talking about it. It's a good day.
It really is. And let it be said as one of the first things that gets mentioned, that your intention, because, you know, Amy, when you look at artists that you have loved through the years and you find out the reasoning behind why they got into the business, some of them say, some with more of a degree of sincerity than others, well, if I could make just one person happy with my music, I will feel as though I have accomplished something wonderful. But you, you said that you just want people to feel. And
okay. Yes.
Yes. And listening to this, honestly, it was a zoned out area when I was listening to Jazz Country, because you put me back in time. You put me in a couple of different places where I didn't think I was going to go back to, which was good. It might have had something to do with the fact that I started a career in country music radio in 1976 that was a few decades old. So you really conjured up some emotion for me. And then the way you did certain songs, you just pulled out the stoppers just by being you. So thank you.
Well, thank you. That's lovely. That's the best kind of compliment. So it brought something out in you that it wouldn't bring out in anyone else, you know, and that's really quite, that's lovely. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. How did you ever get to be so bloody hybrid?
Well, it wasn't much of a choice. There are some days where I wish that I hadn't gone that way. Sometimes it's easier to just, you know, fit inside the box a little bit better. But when I started, you know, getting together with musicians and figuring out what it was that I wanted to say and what I wanted to explore, it wasn't, you know, the Great American Songbook as it stands, because I had done that and I was looking for some other material. So my first two records were actually there is a Willie Nelson tune on there, so it's not like, you know, it was all super pop tunes. But, you know, I did Depeche Mode and The Cardigans and just tried to find some material that would be interesting to me and new. And not that the standards are amazing and, and, you know, there's always something to be learned and explored in that music. But I was just trying to sort of see what else I could find, mine for good songs. And then, you know, as I started listening to more and more country tunes, I was like, wow, I should do something that's just country tunes. And that's where we ended up at Jazz Country.
Mm. Well, it's just such a, you know, in going through the years and listening to certain kinds of songs, like I'm thinking of Bill Evans, who was able to do so much and still does. He's quite active touring from what I can glean. Bill Evans, the saxophonist, who was able to intermingle bluegrass and jazz. And a number of different people that I knew living in Nashville who sort of I don't know, played around with it. And one of the first, and this is what you reminded me of when I was listening to your vocalizing back in 1985 in Vero Beach, working at a country station, what came across my desk but Chet Atkins and Stay Tuned. And he had chafed against the notion in country music circles of doing something jazz-oriented, but that's where his heart was. He wanted to find the connection between those two. So this is really wonderful ground for you. And God, you need applause so much, because we need to be creative as far as music is concerned these days. And you agree with that, of course.
Yeah. I could not agree more, yeah. And, you know, it's more than anything else. I mean, more than a business plan, it's I just follow my heart, and that's what it says to do right now. And, you know, I already have, of course, the next two or three records in my head, because my brain doesn't stop the learn its lesson and just keeps going. And, you know, they're completely different. They're, you know, couldn't be more different. So, yeah. Go figure.
Really? So, wow. And that's part of being a mom. You understand that, of course, that your mind never stops, even
never
when
stops.
You're supposed to be at rest. Wow. Where is your mind going now for the next outing? I'm just curious. If you don't want to say anything, you don't have to.
No, I don't mind. Right now, this is all just sort of brainstorming. I know for sure I have this vocal group that we just did so far, actually just kind of 1.5 shows. We call it Duchess, and it is with Melissa Stiliano, who's a great singer, and Hillary Gardner, who's another great singer. And it's the three of us, and sort of doing a Boswell Sisters style thing, girl harmonies. And we've only done, as I said, those two gigs, and the response was really quite amazing. So we're going to sort of try and hit that as soon as possible. That's going to be my next project. But then, the next thing after that is actually going back to a sort of standards record, but not, of course, I could never just do, Misty or something, but doing a little bit more of a straight ahead record that involves a little more of my jazz chops, sort of a straight ahead swing thing. But of course, it's not going to be that straight ahead because I want to do organ, drums, and trumpets. And myself.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
you are a creative individual, and I love that. One of the particular points that I wanted listeners to know about you, it just immediately connected with me, and it takes some evolution, actually, to get to this point. We were just talking about this. My friend Pete Gitlin, who is a wonderful guitarist, is in the chat room with us today, and we were talking mm-hmm. about that as far as one of the beautiful people in his circle that he's mentoring. She's a young singer, and he doesn't want her to fall into the trap of young female singers that they find themselves in and then they can't get out of it. You very clearly had said that one of your inspirations was Blossom Deary, and
yes.
you gravitated to her because she never gave that appearance. She was pretty much no-nonsense, and
yeah.
who she was not this little sex kitten thing. She wasn't going to
mm-hmm.
have any of that. You either took her seriously when she was doing her artistry, and boy, she would tell you, if she was on that piano and she was on stage, she would say, "You want to be quiet now?"
My favorite story that I heard was about she saw someone in the back with a baby, and she stopped and she said, "Does it cry?" She said, "Well, it's sleeping now," but she said, "No, but will it cry? Can it?" She's like, yes. She's like, well, that doesn't belong here. Which seems, on the one hand, so cold, but on the other hand, how very practical.
Absolutely. Yep. And she came up in a time when it was tough for a female to be involved in music and jazz
yeah.
because jazz was particularly a boys club. So
yeah.
she just, she commanded respect. And I see you are cut from the same cloth. I do.
Wow. Well, that's an amazing compliment. My last record was a tribute to Blossom Deary. And I did.
Yes.
And the reason I did that was because, not only just her energy, I mean, I saw her only once live, actually, quite late in her life, but this part of her that was such a trailblazer, and that she was an instrumentalist as well as a vocalist, but also the material she chose. She wasn't out there doing, all the same songs over and over again. She did new stuff, and she chose tunes that not everyone did or that no one had ever done, and there was something about that. And, her phrasing was incredible. All kinds of things about her that I really fell in love with from the very beginning.
She was quite unique. And this is real important about you. I love that you dwelled on this, because here you were a teenager and you were listening to Cannonball Adderley and Paul Desmond and Charlie Parker. So you were classically trained. You knew how to play the piano. You gravitated to saxophone. You did some real serious education. But I love that New England Conservatory story, Amy. Please share that, because that is a hoot and a half. It's fabulous.
Yeah, so when I was auditioning for colleges, I auditioned only on saxophone everywhere, because I wasn't really, I didn't have plans to be a singer. I just sort of sang because on the side. And I played for my, after driving, you know, drove for however many hours, felt like 20, but I'm sure it was only about 6 or 7 hours to get to Boston from Toronto, and had a bit of a cold, and I played my audition, and Hank Osnetsky, who is a tremendous human being, he's musician, I mean, he's someone that you should definitely look up. And he has this great energy too. He's very he gets excited about things, and you really like feel his, like, it's real excitement, you know. There's no show. He's not putting on a show. You can tell that. And he, after I played, he said, "Well, it says here that you sing too." And I said, "Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, I sing." He said, "Well, could you sing something for us?" Said, "Well, yeah, I guess I, you know, sure, I could sing any. What do you want me to sing?" He was like, "Just anything. Just sing a standard." I said, "Okay, well." "And you want me to take a solo?" And he's like, "Yeah, you could do that." I was like, "Yeah, sure. I mean, I could do that." He said, "Okay, great." So I sang and, you know, just picked something that I wouldn't have to change the key for the guys in the fake book, just sort of, you know, something I could sing in the original key. And I sang, I think I sang Bye Bye Blackbird.
Yep.
And took a
that's
solo.
That's what you said.
So, and when I was done, he was very excited and said, "Oh, well, we can combine your singing and your playing, and that would be great." And I never would have, in a million years, actually thought of singing, you know, until that moment. And when I got into the school, I figured I owed it to Hankus to split my studio and take voice and saxophone and sort of try and do both of these things. And then, you know, by the end, I decided that I had to concentrate on just one if I was going to, you know, get to the end of this journey somehow, but because it was just too much to try and do everything. But yeah, I mean, a lot of this is thanks to that one day, that audition.
that's amazing. And I loved the story because it just seemed like it was meant to happen, that out of the blue, because you weren't expecting this,
no.
You know, you got the invitation to sing, and I'm trying to imagine your face.
I would like to see my face, actually.
You know, here you are, and I'm not sure how you would feel, but my first inclination would be, okay, look, chicks sing. I'm trying to be a serious musician here, okay? So,
I think I was so confused, Trish, that I didn't have time to feel anything but just like this little bit of panic, like, what? I have a cold, and I'm going to sing right now. I don't understand what's going on.
Wow. And that day, just life changed, because you're pretty sure that you got into the conservatory because of that.
I have a feeling that was definitely in my favor. So
that is just too cool. And I love that you had said that because of being able to feel like a leader in leading bands and in playing an instrument, you felt that you have more of an affinity or an understanding about being a singer within a team environment, within a band ensemble. And that's real important, because a lot of singers don't necessarily get that. And that's quite a revelation for you to share.
Yeah, you know, I think part of it is that and I don't know, because I was never trained as a singer, but my understanding in talking to people about their education is that they're just taught differently, and the expectations are a little bit different than than the expectations that are put on instrumentalists, which I think is doing a disservice to everyone involved. But, you know, so no one expects a singer to, you know, learn how to transpose their own charts, because they'll just have a music director who will do that. Or, you know, and a lot of singers end up not being able to even read music, which is, you know, and I mean, with the education the way it is now, I think that is changing a lot. But for me, I came in, and as a saxophone player, of course you could count in a tune, and of course you can, you know, write your own charts. And I think that gave me a certain confidence that was not always there for other singers, just because I had done all that before, and it wasn't really a big deal. It wasn't something new that was being asked of me. I wasn't just, you know, a lot of singers just get up on stage and everyone does the work for them in terms of, you know, as especially young singers. I'm not, you know, once you, at a certain point, either you have a musical director that does everything for you, or you have to figure it out and learn how to do all that stuff. But I came to it already having learned a lot of that stuff from being a player.
And that's a beautiful thing. It clicked that when I had Carmen Lundy on the show over a year ago, mm-hmm. I had made mention, of course, that she was going to be on the show. And a couple of men who had worked with her in Los Angeles made it a point to say publicly how much they appreciated her, because Carmen always came prepared for rehearsals. And she was very much in charge of making sure that everybody felt comfortable, because she brought charts with her. And when I had read that about you, I thought, you know, that's how you gain respect, because it's still a little tricky as far as women in jazz are concerned. Just as soon as you think those doors have all opened, you hear a story and you go, oh, shoot, really? when you hear about somebody who's prepared and is looking to see how thoughtful she can be as far as everybody's time is concerned, it really makes a difference with some of these old cats who have been around for a long time, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think that goes for sort of anyone. I mean, if I come to a rehearsal of, you know, even if it doesn't matter who the band leader is, but if they're not prepared, or we're sort of like, you know, trying to make decisions while we're in rehearsal, it's such a drag, because it's such a, you know, everyone has things to do. Everyone has, you know, families to be with, or, you know, other rehearsals to be at, and to come to something that's just not a professional situation could be a drag. And yeah, it goes for everyone. I mean, it happens whether, regardless of gender, but it's certainly, female singers tend to get a bad reputation. And frankly, it's not always for a bad reason. It happens a lot.
Yeah. Well, one of those scenarios, and this could be another show entirely, but honestly, in trying to do research about some of the female singers in jazz through the years, Amy, it's remarkable to me, and remarkable is not used in the positive sense here, that so many female singers on songs of note were overlooked so that the group name could be front and center on the front burner. And you have to dig to see who the singers were on these songs. Meanwhile, you knew for sure it was Louis Armstrong leading the band. You knew it was Duke Ellington, but wait a minute, who's that singer? You know how that goes.
Right. Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's such a – and, you know, I know that there are some people out there who – I mean, Washington, there's still one Women in Jazz Festival in Washington, but the one that was at the Kennedy Center, they stopped doing it. And I think that's actually – you know, it's saying something. Like, maybe it's not important anymore that there's, you know, a separate festival for women, you know, because of people like Anat who have, you know, sort of broken down some barriers. And I mean, there are a million before her, don't get me wrong, but she's just someone that I, you know, am fortunate to play with on a regular basis. So
And that is a beautiful chemistry, by the way, between you two. God, I adore her. Yes, and now I adore you. Shoot, you two together, it's like, it must be something that has to do with this, and I'll just say it. Because you're from Toronto and because Anat's from Israel, you didn't have the same kind of crap that we had in the States. And you didn't have to unlearn it. You just came in guns blazing. And, man, it has made all the difference in the world. It's just refreshing to hear your take. And I'm about to play something here so folks can understand. I just loved your version of I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry.
Oh, thank you.
And, of course, I have Penguin Dance that I'm going to play, which is your song, which we need to hear. But for you, being raised in Toronto and feeling an affinity for country music, especially the hardcore stuff, because Hank Williams was one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
And for a fresh feeling that you give on something that has been so time-tested, every hair on my neck stood up when I heard you do this song.
Wow. Thank you.
Man. If you want to wax poetic about the personnel before I play it, you feel completely comfortable
sure.
in doing so.
Sure. I will tell you that on this track, the whole record features Jesse Lewis on guitar, who is a hidden gem of New York City, and I'm hoping that it stays that way so that he can continue to have time to play with me. No, but he's pretty incredible, and you know, I've heard him do all sorts of different things, and he picked up the acoustic guitar and can just fit in this style, and it's been pretty amazing getting to play with him. And Matt Aronoff on bass, who is becoming the singer's choice here in New York City, he's super sensitive. You won't find a bass player who is as attuned to what you are doing as Matt Aronoff. And then on this track we have Mr. Marty Ehrlich on the alto saxophone. And, you know, when I was thinking about this, talking with Matt Wilson, who helped me produce the session, we were talking about the kind of voice that we wanted on this and you know, I was picking from within my community, so I wasn't, you know, just cherry picking from which saxophone player I would want. And you know, Marty has this bluesy soul within his playing, as avant-garde as maybe he can be. He also has this very rootsy soul blues sound, and I thought it would fit perfectly for this. So.
You were right on the money. This is so exciting because Amy Cervini is joining us today, and her CD, Jazz Country, drops on this very day as well. This is a marvelous take on the country classic, I'm So Lonesome, I Could Cry, on Hybrid Jazz.
Just went behind a cloud.
Trouble with that song is it's not long enough. Oh, Amy Cervini, I just love that. Here's what you do. You let your voice linger as opposed to hurrying. You're languishing. You're on a hammock and you're letting the river flow right beside you. It's just the coolest thing. I just get so caught up. I'm going, oh, where's she going? Where's she going? Oh, she's not going anywhere. She's just hanging right there. So wonderful what you do with your voice. You're just so comfortable in your own skin. That's a beautiful thing.
Oh, thank you. That's this session was particularly nice in that, you know, we've been playing together for a while, the core band, and we're really comfortable with each other, and we're comfortable with silence, and we're comfortable with not having to sort of prove ourselves in any sort of musical way or otherwise, you know, and
yeah.
we're serving a song and instead of serving our egos, I think, or we're trying, that's our goal anyway, so.
Yes, oh, you are very articulate on that point, because there is sometimes a frenetic mood that you can tell what's happening at the time of recording, but you've got these superior musicians and you are this vocalist who is so in tune with you and what you want to project that it just, once you have that, you can do anything. Anything.
Yeah, it's certainly the combination of having, you know, a good idea of what you're there to say and having people around you who their purpose is to help you say those things. I'm pretty lucky.
And the choice of material, look, it has not escaped me that you included a K.T. Osland song on this. You know, a lot of people don't know who K.T. Osland is. Oh, my God, you appreciate her, don't you?
Well, you know, now here's the thing with this song. I did not know who she was. Obviously,
really?
At some point I had to learn about her. But I do a duet night. I have a monthly gig at the 55 Bar here in New York City. And so occasionally, like once or twice a year usually, I try and do a duet night. And where I get together with some of my friends and colleagues and we just sing vocal duets. And I had Janice Siegel come and join me a couple times, actually.
Mm.
And in case people don't know, Janice Siegel is the original alto in the Manhattan Transfer. And mm-hmm. she is a fountain of knowledge and is also a lovely, lovely lady and amazing singer. And she actually hipped me to this tune, and we did it as a duet. And she has never recorded it, but I asked her if she had plans or if I could have it. And luckily, she had no immediate plans to record that tune, so I was allowed to use it. For this record. Yeah, I mean, and then, of course, then I got to delve into K.T. Osland and how awesome she is. So.
Oh, without a doubt, having worked in country radio and having met her and spent some time with her, look, you don't know what kind of situation she brought, the new energy she brought to Nashville, because here was this feisty, taking no prisoners, older chick coming to Nashville, Tennessee, taking over the groundwork that these Southern ladies had laid. And she
right.
was just so feisty, and she didn't care what you thought. She was going to say what she wanted to say. Oh, my God, did she turn
well, no
out
no wonder I liked her.
See? There you go.
I liked her before I even knew that.
Oh, man. Yes, there's definitely a similarity between you two because you are so funny. You really do like to start your shows off with that song, Don't Fence Me In, don't you?
I really do. It's not just a line. I often say, and it doesn't matter what band I'm playing with. I actually do a kids show once a month, and I often start that show with Don't Fence Me In and dedicate it to Woody from Toy Story. But, you know, I'm still singing it.
Wow, wow. That is great. I didn't know that. Oh, man.
Yeah,
a kids show
yeah.
once a month, huh?
I do, yeah. The last Sunday of every month, I do a kids show in the afternoon at the 55 Bar. And, yeah, I just sing, you know, I sing, actually, it's the same material as I normally do most for the most part. I do A, You're Adorable, which is the only thing I think I wouldn't sing on an adult show. But, you know, I do Don't Fence Me In, and I do Frame Frame Sauce, and I do Route 66, and just tunes that are fun, so Dança Samba, some Brazilian stuff, so that in a different language, just exposing them to the different kinds of, and showing them that, you know, jazz is fun and not necessarily, you know, the bad word that it has become.
Yeah, well, look, that's the fault of a lot of radio stations, actually, across the country. That's a whole other
yes,
interview
yet
with you.
Show.
Man, it just
yeah.
really astounds me that there is not, and when you contemplate this, and if I'm wrong, somebody please tell me, but there needs to be more than a handful of 24-hour-a-day, all-encompassing jazz stations that are commercial, not publicly run, but a way for people to make money, because that's the only way folks are going to take this seriously again.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, here's, I had a thought in mind, and now this, here's what is cool. The other day on Garrison Keillor's Prairie Home Companion, just to reinforce the whole notion of jazz country, this was something that was pretty awesome. Kat Edmondson was on the show, and singing with her was Ray Benson from Asleep at the Wheel, the group that specializes in Western swing.
Yeah.
So let me tell you how doggone dadgum cool that was. You know,
yeah.
and that's where you need to go. You need to tap on Garrison Keillor's door because he would love
you. There you go. Well, I'll send an email to my publicist right now.
Yes. I'm telling you, he looks for female vocalists who are unique and have a different kind of slant on the music that he loves. He would have you for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He would love you so much.
Well, that's a great, he's amazing. And, you know, I know a couple people who have been lucky enough to be on his show, and everyone just loves it, so.
Yeah.
Or not, actually, I think they just did something pretty recently.
Oh, really?
So, I think so, yeah. And then, well, maybe I don't think I'm making it up. I think that's true, yeah. Maybe it was at Town Hall here in New York.
Well, you have that.
You
need to certainly follow that up, but tell me this, and I know that you being the busy mom that you are, and there's 1,001 things that you're doing on this drop day for your CD, what would you like to have accomplished with jazz country? What do you envision happening? What doors would you like to have open for you now?
Well, you know, I think with every record, it's just a question of sort of, it has been for me, just getting more live performance opportunities and being able to get on the road a little bit more, to share the music with people and to, you know, just get that. I mean, that changes a band completely too, getting to play all the time together and live, and that sort of brings you to a new place. And so I would love for that to happen. We have a few tour dates set up with this record, but it's my hope that and it's so far it's happened that with each record it gets a little bit easier to book some gigs. But you know, that's the goal, is to be out there, because live is really, that's the best way to share this music. I mean, it's different every time, and your audience will change the way the music sounds by their energy, and it's really the best part of what we do, is sort of sharing this live with people. So,
yep. Well, along those lines, there is a venue in Baltimore that is run by a very, what can I say about Henry Wong? He is always looking for those kinds of people to enhance the European feel of his venue, which is Andy Music, right in the heart of Baltimore. Mm-hmm. So there's an idea for you. And Bethesda Blues and Jazz, which is in the shadow of D.C. And, of course, Blues Alley. So hopefully your publicist will write all of this down, because we really would love to see you closer to us, Amy.
I would also love that.
Yes.
And I actually know Henry from my other life as a manager of other artists, so I will definitely check in with him.
Oh, fabulous. All right, then. That's great. And, of course, my hometown, Chris's Jazz Cafe, got to make sure you follow up on that. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I sent him an email, so if you're listening, Alan.
No pressure, Alan. No pressure.
No pressure.
Well, that's great. I'm really glad that you're chomping at the bit to make sure that you do some touring. And, you know, the West Coast is a whole other story. We got to make sure that our mutual friends, folks that I know, get you glued to Catalina Jazz in Hollywood. We got to make sure you go there on the West Coast. Yep.
I would love that.
Or if that doesn't work, the Tellos upstairs right there in Studio City.
I'm working on that one for May, actually. So we'll
see. Good.
They just changed their booking person over there, so hopefully.
Okay.
But I'm planning to come to LA, even if it means I'm, you know, playing on the street there. So LA is definitely.
Well, okay.
I have some confirmed dates in Seattle, so it would seem a shame to come all the way across the country to only play in Seattle. So I'm working in Portland and San Francisco and LA, and hopefully, actually, I'm working on something for DC too. I'm doing some master classes at Penn State, College. Yeah, so not so far away.
No,
it's in the right direction anyway. So hoping to come your way as well. Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, we'll keep in touch then and figure out. You know, maybe couple of other venues that are opening their doors, and maybe the Baltimore Jazz Alliance, of which I am a member now. We're always looking for opportunities for folks to come into the area, how we can make Baltimore look extra special to folks who are visitors, so you can come back again and again. Yep.
Sounds
good.
Great.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to play this third song, Penguin Dance. And I know that Gary Versace is on this with you. If you want to just make sure you say a few words, and then we'll play with your own song.
Yeah, sure. This is a tune that I wrote with a friend of mine named Nikki Schwerer, who's a great singer from South Africa, and she's one of the people that is generally on my duet nights. And we decided that we would try and write something to sing together. And I had come up with this melody in the shower, actually, because that's one of my few alone times during the day. And and
yeah.
I sent it to her, and then she did some work on this and then sent it back, and I did some work. And we really wrote it almost exclusively over email and, sending voice memos to each other. Yeah, and it was really pretty fairly 50-50. I mean, I think she would agree to that. And then in the studio, we recorded it and just trio, and then I was having Gary come in and do an overdub on it, and he came in and just nailed it. And he had, that the middle section is an improvised solo, but he came in and had harmonies worked out for my improvised line, and then he just brought the energy of this tune up about a million notches. It was, Gary. Can't say enough about Gary. So
that's real nice. Well, I love the lyric here. It's just perfect for a day like mm-hmm. today.
Exactly.
So I wanted to make sure you got every ounce of respect and accolades you possibly can. And now that I have the whole CD, which I treasure, it will get some regular play here on Hybrid Jazz. Thanks for taking the time, Amy. I appreciate it.
Trish, thank you so much. It was great to talk to you.
It was great to talk to you, and we'll keep in touch. If there are any other ideas, you're going to get them via Facebook email.
Sounds good. I'm ready. I'm ready for all of your ideas.
Yay! Okay.
All right, Trish. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Amy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Amy Cervini, what a pleasure, and I knew it was going to be. Thank you again, Chris McNulty, for that introduction that you didn't know that you were going to even be doing. This is Penguin Dance from Jazz Country on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Come inside. I see wind.
This is Hybrid Jazz.
Oof, man, this has been a great day for music. No joke. Maybe certain days you just feel the music more than you do others. I don't know what it is. This morning I heard a song and I broke out in tears and my son thought I was going crazy. But seriously, when you have that kind of song that we've just heard that combines the ancient with what you perceive to be ancient music, and then you infuse the contemporary into it, it just makes for something that you cannot describe. It's priceless. Whew. And, you know, I'll make a confession to you. Leo is not with us yet, and you just heard the Origin Band. This was from the 1990s. And it's really cool because in the 90s, in Washington, D.C., there was the D.C. Commission on the Arts and Humanities that knew about the stellar reputation of these three brothers, Alejandro, Bruno, and Leonardo, who had come from Rio de Janeiro and were just mesmerizing people with their music. And they thought, you know, we really need to see if we can do something to help these brothers along with what they're in enhancing the community with. So they gave them a grant in 1998 to make this CD. And I am going to just absolutely butcher this name in Portuguese, Aixa, I-J-E-X-A. Somebody will correct me. They'll take great delight in correcting me, too. But you just heard the title track from that. And, man, I did not know Leonardo, also known as Leo, before this introduction was made from Paula Phillips. Thank you, Paula. And when I got acquainted with the whole notion, I had heard about Alejandro because he had been playing with some friends of mine. But Baltimore and D.C. are quite different when it comes to jazz scenes, as anybody can attest. I'm not sure how to explain it other than the idea that there are so many artists who play instrumental music that sometimes paths do not necessarily cross, although people are aware of one community to another. It sounds like there is this great gulf or ocean between the two communities, and sometimes that seems to be the case, but it's a very exciting kind of wide swath of genius, seriously. More so, and you've heard us talk about this with other guests or me on my own, but in this particular mid-Atlantic region, there is enormous artistry. And then down the road is Philly, and that's a whole different story. Well, Leo is not with us at this moment, and I know that he's got a pretty heavy educational roster. So let us go with the shorter tune that we have. This is apparently new. I just got this last night. It's called Reflections, and he'll explain when he's here. Hopefully that will be soon. Hybrid Jazz, Leonardo Lucini, and this is Reflections, and he'll explain the circumstances. Thank you.
This is Hybrid Jazz. Thank you.
is brand new from Gabrielle Goodman on Hybrid Jazz.
There is a place that I dream of when I close my eyes. A place beyond all the stars and far beyond the skies. A place where peace and tranquility always abide.
it just seemed a natural sort of progression to hear a couple of strongly felt Brazilian tracks. Thank you, Lucini Brothers. And I see that we have a call holding. I'll get to that momentarily. But to actually move into that really fabulous flow and hear the bliss of Brazil and everything else that accompanies those songs, to move into a Gabrielle Goodman song from her brand new Spiritual Tapestry CD seemed like an organic thing to do. Just so you know, Gabrielle Goodman is going to be doing a CD release party this Thursday at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum. You will hear songs like that, Steal Away, and you will hear some other amazing ancient songs. What Gabby wanted to do is take 12 Negro spirituals and weave into them all that she has learned being an associate professor of voice at Berkeley, and all her experience touring with Chaka Khan, everything she is as her own person as far as that amazing voice is concerned. She wanted to do them anew for new generations of people to hear them. So whew, when we found out that she's going to be at the Reggie on Thursday for $5, my God, it seemed like a no-brainer to make sure that you knew about it. So don't be surprised if you hear another track on Thursday. Gabrielle Goodman from Spiritual Tapestry, available to a very limited few. I believe that you can get that Steal Away track via Soul Tracks. Actually, you can download it for free. Yep. You just heard a few tracks, ladies and gentlemen. You did. You heard Reflections and Run, which are new tracks, and then you heard something from the 90s. All brought to you, all of what they had in common was Leonardo Lucini, who is, this is going to get exhausting trying to tell you all of what this man has done and who he is, not only an acclaimed electric and double bassist, a teacher, a composer, an arranger, an able-bodied clinician who does workshops all the time, oversees summer workshops, makes sure that folks in this region and beyond get addressed professionally and productively as to how to play their instrument. He is also blessed with some kind of a different kind of unique sprinkling of stardust to make us feel the way we feel after we hear tunes. After you've just heard three, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This is Leonardo Lucini. Hey, Leo.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you? I wasn't sure you were going to get to us, but I played three tracks just in case.
No, that's great. Thank you. I'm glad I got to you. That's great.
Yeah, I am too. How exciting for you. You sent me new songs. I did not expect that.
Yes, we just finished recording this new project, and we actually in the process of mixing some of these tunes that you heard, and hopefully we have the CD out pretty soon once we finish mixing and mastering and everything. But yes,
wow.
Very exciting, finally.
Yeah, so you know what? You might think that I know about who is involved in this project. I know for sure that you are going to be at Andy Music coming up on the 22nd, and you'll be with Jeff Antoniuk and Wayne Willens, who were guests on Hybrid Jazz. But tell me about the music that we heard earlier. What will that be called? Will it be called the Brazil Project?
No, that one will be with the group, the Origin group, Origin. And
okay, good.
That's with me and my brothers, Alejandro Lucini on drums and Bruno Lucini on percussion.
Gotcha.
And a couple of tracks have different people, guests. One is Frederico. Frederico has played with us for many, many years and a great, amazing piano and keyboard player. He's playing some of the tracks. And the other one is Alex Brown, which is also a wonderful keyboard player as well, piano.
Yes.
And he's in some of the tracks. We have a few saxophone players playing with us. And one is Alex Hahn, musician. And another one is Peter Fraze, which he recorded with us in our first project. And we also have Marshall Keys, which is also another great saxophone player in our area. That has our tracks. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So I did not know about the project until the past few days. I knew that you were going to hopefully get on the show today to talk about what was happening at Undie, but I'm really excited that I got sent a couple of the tracks before they get truly mastered and sent out. When do you suspect that the album is going to drop? Do you know?
Well, we're looking for releasing the album in the fall of this year.
Good.
We have some time to finish preparing and promoting and everything. So we probably want to be able to release by fall, by early fall this year.
So all of you, Alejandro and Bruno and you, have such full schedules. How on earth do you get together in order to record music?
Well, that's true. It's a big challenge. We have, we are by the grace of God, we live close to each other. My brother Alejandro and I live in proximity, live in close neighborhoods here in Maryland, and my brother Bruno also doesn't live far. And all the musicians are musicians that, even though they tour a lot and they're always out of town, they really appreciate the compositions, the music, and they really dedicate themselves. When they are around, we get them and say, hey, man, let's do this. And Alex, Federico, and everybody, they've been very kind and with their time and dedicating to the music. So even though it is a complex thing, because of the love of everybody for the music and for the project, we are able to rehearse and prepare for the record, and now, thank God, I'm just mixing and getting ready to put this project out there.
Well, you know, Leo, I have to say that because of the strength of your reputation, and actually the Lucini name carries some weight, because in the Washington, D.C. area, you and your brothers have been making this amazing music for over 15 years. So the kind of artistry that's involved, I mean, those two new songs were amazing. I had been familiar with the CD in the 90s, but look, I would imagine that there are artists outside of this area who are chomping at the bit to work with you. You and your brothers really do have fabulous reputations.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. We are very blessed to have this opportunity to be together, to work together. Even though we came from Brazil here, we are very blessed to be in the same area and be able to be working together for so many years and preparing this music. Thank you.
And how did that come to be? I mean, how is it that, I mean, you're from one of the most beautiful places in the world, Rio. So here you are. I mean, you're in like the shadow of Washington, D.C. How did that happen?
Well. To the credit, to Washington D.C.'s credit, this is a beautiful area. It really is. I really like the area. It's a beautiful area to live in, and it's a lot of the things that I like are here. We have a big cultural scene. We have a big. There's a lot of greens, a lot of parks, a lot of places to visit. It's all the museums, all the attractions here. This is a great area to live. And to raise kids. I have a daughter, a 26-year-old daughter. And they actually plays bass as well. She's actually finishing her degree at Berklee College of Music up in Boston.
Wonderful.
And I have a son that's 16, and he's into musical theater right now. He plays bass as well. They have no choice. They have to play bass. But he decided to break from, he still plays bass and plays very well, but he's into musical theater now, and he's in high school at Albert Einstein High School in Maryland, and he's finishing his high school and he's going to pursue music as well. So
That's awesome. The
reason why I came here answering your question is combination of factors. Brazil at the time I came in the early 90s, and at the time I was looking for a place to study jazz, to study music, and my brother Alejandro was living here, and he kept telling me, Leo, you need to come. He was studying at Howard University here in Washington. Which is a great school for jazz,
yes,
for music, wonderful university. And Alejandro was studying here, and I said, oh, okay, let me go visit. And then we came to visit, and I really liked it. And I auditioned for the program, and I was able to finish to get my undergrad degree there at Howard. So Alejandro and I did study there. And that's one of the main reasons I came here to the United States, is to actually finish my degree
gotcha.
In Brazil. In Brazil at that time, it was a lot of turmoil, economic turmoil. Inflation was rampant. Teachers were on strike all the time. And it was a very difficult time in Brazil. It was a transition into democracy, yeah, out of 25 years of dictatorship.
Yes.
So it was a hard time. And right at that time is when I decided to come here and pursue my career with a different type of infrastructure. And I was very fortunate to land in D.C. and be at Howard and have the opportunity to play. I took lessons with a great bass players, including Keter Betts, the late Keter Betts.
Oh, wow.
And great teachers at Howard University. Many of them are still around playing. And so it's great. All my friends from Howard University are great musicians around the world in this area and beyond. So I was very fortunate. That's one of the main reasons I came here.
Well, that makes perfect sense now, and especially that Alejandro was already here, and he was very familiar with Howard University. I love the fact that you went to the school, and you were so hungry. You did very well at Howard. And, you know, with that particular school, there are some jazz legends that are always in a situation where they're helping the jazz program. So you got to mingle with Benny Golson and Frank Foster and a lot of others. So no wonder you love D.C. so much, because, honestly, Washington, D.C. loves you.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank you. Yeah, the music community here in Washington, D.C. is great, too. I feel like everybody is like a big family, and we know each other, and a lot of the great musicians here, jazz musicians and all the styles, too, have taught me a lot, have helped us a lot, both me and Alejandro. I learned a lot about music from Cuba and from the Caribbean here in this area. A lot of the jazz, a lot of opportunities was given to us by our musicians friends, and I'm very thankful. I really love the community here and all the musicians in it. Great friends.
Well, it really does show your gratitude, because I had heard your name in regard to some workshops you had done, and I really feel as though you're one of these beautiful people who loves to give back a whole lot. You really do love to do workshops and clinics, don't you?
I do. I actually do. I love teaching. I actually enjoy very much. I just started a new program here in Prince George County here in Washington, D.C. area. It's a high school for performing arts, a new program of performing arts program at the Northwestern High School.
Oh, great.
In the northern part of Prince George County. So I'm very excited that they just hired me to help build this program here. So I'm working with high school students here. I also teach at Montgomery College. I'm an artist in residence there, so I do workshops, and I direct a Latin band there. So that's also nice. I get to work with those students there, either transiting into a four-year degree, or they just wanted to get more experience right out of high school.
Wow.
And I get to recruit into the elementary schools and middle schools in my area, in my region. So I got
really
of all ages. Yes. And I do some work, bring it back into the Andy Music, the Brazil project that we all mentioned at the beginning.
Yes.
We are performing an Andy Music in Baltimore this Saturday. And that's a project with Jeff Antoniak. And Jeff Antoniak runs a great organization called In Depth Jazz. I know
yes,
he was
does.
In your program before. And he sometimes asked me to come in and do workshops for his special events. And we've done a couple on Brazilian music. Very successful, very nice, great people to work with, mostly adults that play, that have other professions but like to play, and I love to work with them as well. And as thanks to Jeff and through the partnership with Jeff, we decided to start playing music, doing some more of this Brazilian music together. He actually has been performing to Orijama a lot in the past few concerts we have done. And he's a great musician, great player, great friend. And we have been collaborating a lot lately. And the Brazil project, which is this performance that's happening on Saturday, is a fruit of this collaboration between Jeff and I and some of the other musicians in the band that we've been playing together. Wayne Lentz and I have been playing since the mid-90s. He's a great lover of Brazilian music, and we have
yes.
collaborated on a few projects together as well. And so it's going to be a great concert. It's a great celebration of love of Brazilian music and jazz. So it's going to be fun.
Absolutely. And folks who are listening either live or in the archive mode after this show ends today, you need to go to get your tickets via AndieMusik Live, AndieMusicLive.com. And I absolutely love that website, Leo, because when you go there, it's real easy to figure out how to get tickets. It's a no-brainer.
Okay. Yep. Yes, yes.
You just go there, you click on the date, and everything is right there. You pay right there.
And it's a great location, too. It's a
yes.
very nice, it's acoustics, they are great, and the gentleman there really tries to support local musicians and local groups and make sure that we have a venue that can to perform that's nice, that's quiet, that's new. It's really a concert hall in the middle of Baltimore in an area that's
yes.
been revitalized a lot and lately. It's got much, much better down there, and it's a great place to play, so I'm excited about that as well.
And you know what? This must be said. This is an aside, but people really want to know this. Having been to the venue quite a few times now, what you mm-hmm. need to do is, and this is tricky because it's city life, and if folks are coming in from other areas, if you're driving your vehicle, you want to be in a position to come down North Charles Street. You pass on D on the right. Mm-hmm. You make an immediate left, and there's a closed, enclosed parking garage. So, yes. People who are parking on the street, don't tear your hair out. Just make sure you pass the venue, make that immediate left, and bang, there you are. So that way it saves you the hassle of trying to find a space. So.
Fantastic. Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to ask you one more question, and I know that you're busy, but here's what the meat and potatoes of the most important thing that you will be asked, Leo. The
okay.
music is so lush, and you really do want to convey your home to people who are in this region. How
mm-hmm.
important is it for you to be able to play infused, of course, with everything that you've learned since you've been here, but is it really important for you, for folks to get a sense of Brazil in what you play and in how you play it?
Yes, I think it is. I think that's one of the main reasons, you know, we created Origin the first time just to share this experience, this background that we have with Brazilian music, with all the music that we love from Brazil.
Yes.
And mixed with all the influences we have acquired over the years of performing, studying, and living abroad, living away from Brazil, living here in the United States, and learning all the jazz and everything else that we incorporate in our music. I think it's really, really, really a unique opportunity for anybody who would like to listen to some Brazilian music that is, might have heard bossa nova or might have heard a little bit of samba. But this, our group is unique because we bring all of that, but we mix that with everything else and create this a more original and unique approach to Brazilian music.
Oh, you sure
and,
do.
What our passion, our love is to be able, our first project was more arrangements that I wrote. We have two original compositions on the first project, this Point of View and Ligia Shah, which are one of mine and one of Alejandro's. But most of the CD is arrangements I wrote of traditional Brazilian music, compositions I like it. This new album that has reflections and run the songs you played, this new album is all original music.
Great.
Alejandro wrote and my wrote. So it's really a combination of all these years of living here. We, Alejandro and I, have been here for over 20 years now. And it's really bringing our background, our love for Brazilian music, and mixing that with our influence, our love for American music. So it's a nice experience.
Oh, it's just beautiful to hear because, as I was explaining earlier, you know, when you can hear an ancient kind of music, when you perceive, your ear figures out that what you're hearing is from years ago, long before we were born, but you can hear that rhythm and that sound. And then you also hear the contemporary influence of what it is that marries the old with the new. It's just priceless, and especially when there are artists who are hungry to convey that kind of fusion. It's a whole new kind of fusion. It's breathtaking, really.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate to share this music with everybody, with your audience. That's very nice. Thank you. Thank you for understanding, for giving us the opportunity to share this.
Absolutely, my pleasure. It's a mission here on this show to make sure that all the different kinds of voices of jazz get heard. And when people hear something like this, it's just so startling because it's so fresh. So please continue with this and know that there are thousands of us who really do want to hear this. And when the album is finished, you know what? Bring your brothers back here and we'll have a party on the show.
That would be awesome. Yes, we will. That would be great.
That would be great.
that's a deal. All right?
Great. Well, tell Bruno and Alejandro that I said hello, and we're so appreciative, and thank you for taking the time, Leo.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for your time, and thank you, Darius, for embracing this music, and I hope everybody likes it. And thank you very much for the opportunity, my dear.
Absolutely, yes. Have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you soon. We'll see you, hopefully, on the 22nd at Andy Music.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'll be looking
All right.
forward to it. All right.
All right.
Take care. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Leo Lucini, Leonardo, if you will, but shortened to Leo. Just a pleasure to be able to talk to him and get the affirmation or the confirmation, if you will, about the desire to spread that word about the myriad of different kinds of music, especially from the southeast and northeast regions of Brazil. Must be a real kind of culture shock, and I know that he has expressed his love for the D.C. area, but can you imagine coming from Rio de Janeiro and coming to the Mid-Atlantic or just anywhere that's different from where you have been and starting over again? What he has accomplished with his brothers is just so amazing. The artistry that these three brothers are known for is pretty staggering to have, and it's just a pleasure to know. It's exciting to know that there's going to be another CD in the works. He says it so much better, but it's spelled O-R-I-G-E-M, Origine, Origine Band. To have another project in the works is just fabulous. So thanks again to Leo for the opportunity to speak with him, and we'll hopefully see him on the 22nd. This is going to be great. Andy Music, you go to that website, you get your tickets. Jeff Antoniak, Way Willens. It also explains the pricing and who else is in the band. Real nice website that Henry Wong has. He's gotten a few mentions on the show just because he knows how to do things right. We've got about 10 more minutes in the show. We've played the two newer tracks, Reflections and Run, from Origine. And we played the track from the 1990s that started the brothers on their musical journey. So we'll turn our attention to a friend that we promised that we'd play from earlier. This is Greg Adams from Firefly back in 2004 on a hybrid jazz. Yeah, great music. And it continues. Thank you.
This is Harper Jazz.
I fell asleep late last night, and I dreamed that the night is almost half the day away. I just got up so that I could hear her say, she's still in love, and no one could take her love away. Ooh, love wakes me up every day, and I thought no one could ever make me feel this way. It fills me up every time.
From 1987's Give Me a Reason CD from Luther Vandross and Gregory Hines, the late, great Gregory, whose birthday was on Valentine's Day. We didn't get a chance to play it beforehand, but you'll hear it now. You'll hear it in your head now for the rest of the day. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Amy Cervini. Thank you, Leo Lucini, for joining us, and we'll see you on Thursday.
with a woman that you are going to want to meet. Be listening. And thank you for listening to Hybrid Jazz. God bless you.